asshole.
You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
His dance song to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get down.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rotten Reviews Podcast. Welcome to, I think it's episode 107, which is still crazy to think about, you know, doing this for 107 episodes. And here's to, you know, a couple hundred more, 50 more, 10 more, who knows? But yeah, I'm enjoying it. So on today's episode, we are continuing our worst movies from Rotten Tomatoes on the Tomato Meter. Another movie that has a 0% on Tomato Meter, and I think it was like 16% or something super low on the audience score. Okay, so I double checked. The audience score was a little bit higher. I was actually 31%, which I don't know why, but that's just my opinion on this movie, and I'm going to put that probably out there a little bit early, but wasn't really a big fan of this movie. At all. But the movie we're talking about is a 1999 horror movie based on one of the short stories by Stephen King. It's, I don't even know which one this is in the series. Number 4 or 5, Children of the Corn 666, Isaac's Return. It's a horror movie, of course, for an hour and 22 minutes. So the plot for this one, as a teenage girl comes to Gatlin to find her biological mother, the town's infamous cult plots a comeback as their leader, Isaac, awakens from a coma. Yeah, woohoo, interesting. This is a fun one. This movie also has a 3.4 out of 10 on IMDb and 3.5 out of 5 on Vudu. I don't know the Vudu at all, but they apparently like it. 81% of Google users apparently like this film as well. The initial release was on October 19th, 1999. You know, just in time for Halloween. And it's by Dimension Films. It also says it's distributed by Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment, which I didn't see that logo anywhere on this one putting it on. It also has an R rating. There's not much to talk about on this movie, like even on the goof section on IMDb. It just goes back to about Isaac being in his coma in the beginning of the movie. And apparently, if you look closely enough at his eyes, you can clearly tell he's got contact lenses in, and you can tell it's not really him in a coma, it's just him with lenses on top of his eyes to make it look like he is in a coma. I don't know why I forgot what contact lens was called, but that's just how my brain works, and it's only 10 o'clock at night when I'm recording this, so it's gonna be a fun episode, that's for sure. I just watched it like an hour ago, so it's fresh in my mind. But that being said, it's, you know, it's a movie. It's a Stephen King movie, that's for sure. Or adaptation, I should say, because I don't think King had anything to do with anything other than the first one. But I could be wrong on that, so don't quote me on that, because I don't really know, and I don't really care to look it up either. But I personally do love Stephen King movies, and I don't care if they're bad, because my favorite movie from Stephen King, and maybe in my top five of all-time favorite movies, is Maximum Overdrive, and that movie sucked. Very cheesy and very stupid. I've already done it in the podcast. I think it was like episode 2. So if you want to go all the way back to listen to that one, where I don't know what the hell I'm doing, might have actually been episode 1, actually. But yeah, if you want to listen to that one, and, you know, listen to me trying to figure out what I'm doing on a podcast, definitely go check it out and let me know what you think about it. But yeah, let's get right into the movie.
And now, preview time. When it comes to entertainment, you can't beat a good film. So let's take a look at what's coming your way.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures.
For every season, there is a time for friendship.
Maybe I want you to stick around.
A time for love.
Don't be scared.
We were destined.
And a time for terror. Isaac is back.
Now is the day of salvation.
To fulfill the final prophecy.
No!
finish it.
Don't be afraid.
It's your soul that's gonna burn in hell.
I don't have a soul.
The movie starts out with the Dimension Films logo popping right up, which I totally forgot about this logo for a while. And I think it's pretty simple, but I like it. I like the look of it. I'm a very artistic person, so I like the designs and the concepts and whatnot. We start out with a very dark, deep red sunrise, and then we cut right to the title screen that pops right up in your face as we're moving through a cornfield. It's not a bad title font. It's not a bad logo or whatnot. It's nothing super amazing that's going to pop right at you, but it doesn't look too bad. And then as we're cutting through the cornfield, we can see someone making their way through the field as well as the intro credits roll. Then we see this silhouette of someone swinging a scythe, and we hear a scream, and then we see a bloody girl falling to the ground. I believe it was a bloody girl. And then we have the narration from the girl who's coming back into town. Her name is Hannah, and we get the general rundown of this movie that, you know, she was born in Gatland. Her mom kind of pushed her out and sent her to live with someone else. They faked her death. She's trying to look for her biological mom, and it's been 19 years since this happened. So I believe this is like 19 years after the first movie, or it might be 19 years after one of the other movies. I'm not really 100% sure, because the original Children of the Corn is very fuzzy in my mind. It's a much better movie than this one, but then again, I don't think it's a great movie. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept. I like cult movies. It's just, it could be better. But yeah, while she's in the car, she's going on about how she's going back home to figure out the truth. Then she stops on the side of the road and stops to pick up a man whose car broke down, who's also on his way to Gatlin himself. He's like a preacher kind of guy. Yeah, that's always a safe thing to do in a horror movie. I know we're not supposed to break the fourth wall or anything. But yeah, let's stop and pick up this random stranger who's then going to go on about Bible speak, saying how his name is Zachariah and that Hannah has this, you know, special, or Hannah has a special name in the Bible, and that Hannah had a child named something something. I didn't really care. I don't really care about the Bible Lord stuff. So I didn't write a lot of it down. But then she goes on about, you know, kids aren't really in my future. And he's like, well, maybe you're wrong about that. She's like, well, I got the choice. He's like, do you now? Do you really, really have the choice? And then the motherfucker just vanishes. He just disappears like, boop, I'm gone. Oh, also, did I forget to mention that Hannah also has visions? Because then she just has a vision of a scarecrow, and then she sees some kids playing in the cornfield, and the next thing you know, we swerve, and the car goes off the road into the cornfield, and then we see Cora, the sheriff, I believe she's sheriff, I could be wrong, questioning Hannah about what happened. She's like, yeah, a cat ran out. He's like, pretty weird for a cat to be out, you know, just wandering the road down this area, but if you say so. Then Hannah goes on about how she needs to go to hospital, and Cora's like, no, you don't. There's nothing around here anyways. She's like, well, what about the hospital in Gatlin? She's like, you just want to go look at the freak show. That's all you want to do. So apparently Gatlin's got this whole freak show atmosphere built around it still, but then this Cora takes the idea of Hannah into the car and starts running, and then she's like, oh shit, you're the kid that got away. Yeah, let's take it to the hospital. We're gonna go take it to the hospital now. Don't worry, I'll drive you. You just gotta get in the back seat though, as protocol is for you to be in the back seat. And then she escorts her to the hospital and actually walks her into the hospital as well. And once we're in the hospital, we see glimpses of like random kids walking or running, I should say, around the background, but they're actually not supposed to be there because it's like a ghost kind of effect. And then of course the doctor turns out to be a Stacy Keach. He's known for a couple movies, but what I know him from is Mike Hammer, the detective TV series, which is very corny and cheesy on its own right. But I thought that was kind of funny that he's in the movie of all things and he's playing a doctor. Then we find out he grew up in this town, and then Hannah starts questioning him about where the kids are and what happened to them. And then he looks like he's going to choke her because he grabs her like neck and lower jaw, and he's just cracking her neck to, you know, put everything back in alignment, I guess. Then as she goes to get ready to leave, he grabs her wrist and tells her there's nothing wrong with her head and it's a free visit. She doesn't have to pay anything, but she should get the hell out of town and just go back home because there's nothing here for her to see. Then the doc leaves the room with the sheriff Cora because she's like, I lost him again. And he's like, oh, don't worry, it's not the first time, won't be the last time, essentially. And we don't know who the hell they're talking about, but it's Jake, her brother, which we don't find out till later on that it's actually her brother, because at one point I thought maybe it was her like kid. But of course, you know, They do look the same age, but then again, this is a point in time where high school kids look like they're in their 40s, so, you know, it's just a thing. But anyways, that gives Hannah enough time to be nosy around the office. She starts going through all the filing cabinets. She opens up a cupboard and, like, this jar that has, like, a dead rat, and water falls at her, and she's like, oh, I gotta put that back. I don't want that. Which makes you wonder, like, how did it fall out? Because you're just opening a closet door. That's not safe at all, because it's going to be like you're going to open the closet door and forget, but it's like, oh, smash on the ground. It's like, oh, that probably doesn't smell good. That's probably nasty. Anyway, she starts to explore the hospital a little bit more. It's completely empty, but then we see, like, the ghosts of people that used to be in the hospital all around. It's usually a lot of mothers and kids and whatnot. Then this random patient who's known as, I think, Jacob, I could be wrong. I know I just watched this not too long ago, but he's the mentally handicapped patient, or he's gone off the deep end, and he's not in the movie a lot. Well, he's in the movie a lot, but he doesn't have any real lines. He just has mumble jumble. I fact checked. I looked back on IMDb because that's the type of person I'm in. That's a lot of the research that we do here. And it's Jake, not Jacob. My bad. You can scold me in the comments down below, and I'll understand. I'm trying to make this podcast as enjoyable as possible because the movie is really boring, and I'm sorry for anyone who likes this. If you like it, let me know why. I would love to hear your comments down below. Anyways, Jake grabs her in the hallway and, you know, starts repeating himself to her over and over again. She runs away screaming for help, and then Jake keeps chasing her, and they go up the stairway, and she gets to the top of the stairway, and she looks down, he's gone. So she decides to go for this doorway, and then next thing you know, out of nowhere, he's there. He grabs her, and he literally carries her to this room, and inside the room, we see a glass, like, window system, and then inside that room we see an older version of Isaac in bed, which I thought maybe asleep, but he's supposed to be in a coma. She sees his hand shaking a little bit, so she pokes it, and then his eyes open, and they just start, like, jotting around the room looking around, but he doesn't actually move at all. It's just his eyes are moving. She slowly makes her way out of the room and is met by the male nurse guy, Gabriel. He's standing there with towels, and we find out that Isaac's supposed to be in a coma. He's been in a coma for years now. And then we see Cora bringing Jake back into the room. We find that's when we find out his name is Jake, because in my notes at first it was just inmate or patient. Then we see Gabriel escorting Hannah to her car so she can get out of the hospital and get out of the town or wherever she might be going. And then while she's doing that, everyone's standing in this, like, spiral staircase way, and, like, the doc and Cora and Jake are all looking out over. And then Cora's like, why'd you let her leave? And Gabriel's like, the prophecy said she'll come back. Don't worry about it. We'll just let it run its course. Then we cut to her driving, and someone in this old beat up Ford pickup truck starts to ram her car and makes her drive off the road and down a dirt road between the two cornfields, which is the majority of this movie takes place between these two cornfields, which is understandable. You know, it's children of the corn, so you gotta have some corn. She finally makes it into this motel parking lot, and the truck doesn't follow her for whatever fucking reason. And then we see a second dead crow on the ground. When we get to the hospital, originally there's a dead crow there too, but I didn't feel like talking about it. But that's another thing in this movie. There's lots of dead birds. Didn't know we're watching Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. That's a much better movie than this. If you guys want to stop this podcast now and go watch The Birds, I'll totally understand. Or if you want to watch Tom Hanks and The Burbs, that's understandable too as well. And then we cut back to the hospital, where we just see a scene of Jake trying to suffocate Isaac while he's in a coma, just with a pillow over top. And then Doc comes in, pulls him out, like, no, Jake, you can't be doing that, you know. And he's not mad about it. He just kind of seems like this is something that Jake's been doing a couple times here and there, because, you know, he's like, come on, Jake, You gotta stop with the pillow, man. Come on. Hannah makes her way into the motel, but the girl behind the counter is a complete bitch, which is understandable. She doesn't like living in Gatlin, and she's married to the other guy who works at the hotel, which, motel, whatever. He's gonna be a big plot point later on in the movie, I guess, if you want to say that. Anyways, she doesn't really want a room. She just wants to call cops or call for help. That's when we find out that Cora's the only police officer in town, and there's no one else around at all. And she goes to leave, and then he's like, well, don't you want a room, Hannah? And she just looks back like, motherfucker, how you know my name? It's like, oh yeah, small town. If someone new shows up, we all just talk about because we've got nothing better to do. Sounds like some towns around here, actually. I guess I can relate to that. Oh well. Then we cut to Cora and the doc talking over Isaac's body. And then the doc leaves the room, and Isaac must be hooked up to some kind of machine. I don't know what kind of machine it is, but if you have, like, any body senses, the meter starts shaking on, I think, some paper. Looks like the machine they used in Tremors to get the seismic whatever crap when the tremors are going on underneath the ground, but I don't really know. Anyways, the antennas all start going crazy and start shaking. She's like, oh, he's alive, almost like Frankenstein. We then see Hannah going to leave the motel, and there's a group of people around outside. I guess they're all excited because the prophecy is here and almost going to begin. Then we cut to Isaac holding up his hand, looking confused at it, and they ask Cora how long he's been out, and she tells him it's been 19 years and that she never lost faith, and she tells him that he has a son and that she's prepared him. And that's why I'm like, is Jake the son? That, because you guys, by the sounds of it, you guys are like inbreeding now, so that it could be understandable that Jake is the son, but maybe I'm wrong. I was wrong, but that's besides the point. Then we cut to Jake freaking out in the hallway because Isaac's awake, and he's like, oh no, not kid, Isaac awake. Isaac Wake. Then we just see Hannah making her way through the dark hallway of the hospital, and then she has a vision of Isaac and a walker moving slowly towards her, telling her not to go away and that her visions are true. Then she runs into Gabriel, who I didn't know his name was Gabriel at first. So I was just writing nurse dude in my notes. You know, it works, I guess. And she asks him why Isaac is not locked up. And he's just like, well, Cora did, and she wants to keep him safe and keep an eye on him. She then asks him for help to find her mother's birth certificate. Why was that so hard for me to say? I really need a coffee or something, but that's besides the point. And he's like, so what's next once we find your mom's birth certificate? And she jokes about, yeah, well, maybe we'll go on the Jerry Springer show, which I like that nod because it's late 90s, so Jerry Springer is a pretty big thing right then. I don't even know if that show's still on. Probably not. But that was a fun show. I remember staying home from school some days, being sick and watching that. Maury and The Price is Right. That was a fun afternoon when you're sick, you know, being forced to stay on the couch, even though you're probably not really sick. You just didn't want to go to school that day. But that's besides the point. We all did it. So, it is what it is. Then out of nowhere, while they're looking for the files, Jake comes out of nowhere with a fucking axe and tries to cut their head off. And he smashes it on the ground, and then Gabriel gets up. He's like, no, Jake, you can't be just scaring people like that, okay, Jake? Bad Jake. It's like, he just had an axe and he almost killed both of you guys. Maybe get a little bit more, you know, stern voice towards him, just so he doesn't do it a fucking again. And he's like, Gabe's taking Jake away. We see a scythe in the wall that has like two birth certificates, and one's the mom and another is just called Baby Colby. Apparently maybe it's death certificate, I don't know, it's paperwork of some sort. I'm assuming it's paperwork that she's actually looking for, because she's looking right at it. We then cut and see Isaac in bed having some bad flashbacks, and then it cuts to Hannah in bed having flashbacks as well, and then she's asleep in the motel, but then there's someone in her room that goes to touch her, and then they leave, but she hears the door shutting because the door shuts really fucking loud. So she gets up to look at the door, and we see that person is getting into the same truck that tried driving her off the road. So she's like, oh, I'm gonna get dressed in that, I'm gonna follow you. She follows the truck all the way to where it's going, which is like this graveyard area. She's getting out, spying on, and then this guy comes up behind her asking if she has a spare gas can, because he lent out his bike to someone and they ran out of gas and he's got no gas. But the whole time he's doing that, he's got a machete in his hand, he's just like whipping the ground with it. Like, yeah, I'm not a psychopath, I'm just gonna hit this ground, I'm just gonna keep hitting it with machete. But you got any gas? What the fuck are you doing, dude? Then she asks him if he knows whose truck that is, and he's like, that's Rachel Colby. And we see Colby at the graveyard as Hannah spies on her, and then Cora comes up and they run off together. Well, not really run off together, they just go off on their own. Hannah checks out the graveyard after everyone's left, and then we just see it says, like, on the gravestone, Baby Colby. Then we cut back to the hotel, motel, fun place, you know, discount Bates Motel. And inside Hannah's shower, for some reason, it says get out or die, which we assume was the person in the truck that maybe did it, or it could just be someone random in town, I guess. I don't really know. Then we see Cora taking Colby to talk to Isaac, who says he's been waiting 19 years, and Isaac starts to question Colby, asking why she left his side, and then she's like, well, you killed my entire family. He's like, no, your husband, you know, sacrificed himself for the greater good. As for your kid, they might be dead. Then we see a dinner being put on the table, and I'm like, oh wow, that looks like the turkey dinner from the Hunger Man meals that you get nowadays. And we see it's Rachel Colby feeding the doc. I don't know why, but they are. And then we see Hannah working on her car with Gabriel, and she opens up the trunk and she starts screaming because she sees it full of dead birds and maggots. And then Gabriel just looks over at her and is like, you've been sleeping by chance? Because then they look back at the trunk and the trunk's completely empty of all the dead birds and there's nothing actually inside of it. And then, you know, just some spare tools and whatnot, you know, average trunk stuff, no dead bodies, it's fine. And then, like, I stopped paying attention for 2 seconds. Hannah's sitting in her car with Gabriel, and for some reason they're talking about Hitler, and I don't fucking know why, and I didn't feel like rewinding it because I just didn't really care that much. Then Dr. Hammer, I'm going to call him Hammer, is like, after tonight, Rachel, I won't need you to bring me any more meals. Like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Get the fuck out of my office now. At this point, I checked the runtime on this movie, and I saw that I'm only 38 minutes in. And I thought to myself, what am I doing with my life? Because this movie is really slow, and nothing amazing has even happened at this point in time. It's a very slow burn. But, you know, if you guys are enjoying that, then that's the type of movie you guys enjoy. Let me see the doctor walking to one of the rooms where Jake is. And he left the tap on and it's overflowing with water, so he goes to shut it off. Then he goes to help Jake up, and then Isaac pops up and turns the water back on with his mind because he's getting stronger. And then he rips a power line out and starts to electrocute the doctor, where Isaac lets him know before he dies, like, firsthand, you know, I don't have a soul, so you can't kill me, or something along those lines, which, you know, not a very clever line, but it is what it is. Then we meet Isaac's son, who is the guy from the motel behind the desk, and they have a little father-son prophecy chat, and the son leaves, and then we see Isaac and the nurse guy, Gabriel, walking through the cornfield talking about their plans for the future, and Gabriel just wants what's best for the town moving forward, and he doesn't want to, you know, do the culty kind of stuff anymore. Then Isaac goes on about how his vision is absolute, and Gabriel says, well, who got nailed to the cross? And Isaac's like, yeah, go, leave, before you mess up my plans. Just get the fuck away from me. Then, as Hannah is driving, Isaac's son is speeding drunk right towards her and forces her off the road. He laughs, saying, welcome to hell. He goes and grabs a shovel out of the back of his El Camino, and he gives it to Hannah, and we hear kids laughing in the corner, and he's like, I didn't say a thing. We then see Hannah digging at the graveyard, and then she starts screaming as blood starts hanging over as there's a bloody body. And then it's just gone, and then Rachel Colby shows up saying, don't open the casket, just leave town now. And she tells Hannah that her visions are real, and then Hannah decides to open up the casket, and we find out it's empty. Shocking, didn't see that coming at all. Kobe tells her to go back to her new parents because she sent her away to get Hannah away from Isaac. Then we have some mother-daughter drama crap, and then Kobe says Isaac wanted Hannah to be the mother of a superior race of humans for his cult, because apparently the first daughter and first son of the clan will make a superior race or some other stupid crap. Then we cut back to Isaac giving a speech, and he's getting ready to brand everyone with the mark of the chosen, which he gives the first one to his son, and he takes it around the palm, which of all the places to get it, that sounds very painful and unenjoyable. Also, your mark looks really stupid because it just looks like some kind of weird curved S looking thing, which, you know, put some more thought into it. We then see Hannah walking down the dirt road, and a bunch of kids come out of the corn and saying, destiny, destiny, destiny. And she starts to freak out, and then she drops to the ground, and then we see a shot of the full moon, and then out of nowhere Isaac appears, and he's waking her up, and she's now in the area where Isaac was just giving the speech. And we see she's in the cornfield now, and there's a fire going behind, and Isaac brands her hand as well, because apparently, you know, she's the first girl and his son is supposed to be the first boy, so they're gonna have like the super race together. So he kind of like pretends to almost marry them. And then we see Hannah running off, and Isaac's son's girlfriend or fiance or whatever, she's also helping in the whole situation, like to try and get her away. Then Rachel Colby walks into the group and starts going on to the crowd in front of Isaac, calling him out to be a fraud because it's almost midnight and the prophecy has not been reached yet, and this and that. And then the like I said, the girl from the hotel, Isaac's son's fiance or girlfriend, grabs Hannah to try and help her escape. They make it out to the road, and then they're surrounded by the guys on the dirt bikes, and then dragged back to Isaac, while the daughter's dragged back to Isaac, and then Hannah is grabbed by one of the guys on the bike and taken to a different location. Then we see the guy that grabbed her is actually Gabriel, and you couldn't tell because he had the full helmet and everything on, and he takes Hannah to this different spot that I think a barn made from the original movie, and she breaks down, and he tries to tell her it's going to be okay. It's fine. You know, you're just stuck in a cult town and you're having these weird visions. No big deal. Don't worry about it. Then we cut back to Isaac, who's asking his son to kill his girlfriend because she was one trying to help Hannah escape, and she can't be a part of the cult because she doesn't even want to be part of the cult because she doesn't believe in it. And he refuses to do it. So then Isaac grabs the machete. He's like, fine, I'll fucking do it myself and just chop. Dad didn't think twice about that. Then we see Hannah and Gabriel in the barn and they're hiding from Isaac, of course. And then we see them wrapping up her hand. And then for some reason, we see Gabriel holding a garden hose to help Hannah take a shower in the stall, and then they switch places. I guess it's just to build up some sexual tension because, you know, it's a 90s movie and they gotta have some sex in it somewhere. And then, you know, the clock strikes midnight as they're getting ready to bone. It's like, oh, well, is that the prophecy? I don't know. Then we see a slow shot of a drunk Isaac's son walking into the barn with a scythe in hand, and she asks him what Isaac did with her mom, and he just starts walking away. Don't really know. There's nothing really there. And then for some reason, Isaac's son is staring at like this wall that's full of different barn tools, and Gabriel comes over and kisses Isaac's son on the lips as he's looking at this, you know, wall full of tools, and he grabs his big giant scythe off of it. He's like, don't let me down. It's like, what the fuck is going on now? This is weird. This is already stupid, and now it's just getting weird. I'm assuming this is Gabriel's way of putting some power behind Isaac's son, because Isaac's son grabs that giant scythe, somehow lays it on the ground so the blade's shooting straight up and it's balancing perfectly fine. I've seen a couple scythes in my time and I've never had one be able to stand up like that. Anyways, he just looks at his hand at the brand. He's like, smiles a little bit, and then falls face first onto the scythe, killing himself. And he's like, nah, I don't want to be with my dad anymore. And then we cut to see Gabriel walking into the hospital, and a random medical table comes like shooting in front of him. He's kind of just like, ah, whatever. And then we see Rachel Colby down in the basement in front of this like open furnace, because that's another thing in 90s movies. God forbid you shut the furnace door in case a flame shoot at you. Yeah, it's no big deal. Anyways, she's chained up like wrist to wrist, and then Isaac comes in and starts hitting her in the back, and Hannah can apparently feel it because they have this like bond together now. And we also see Hannah somewhere in the hospital, and that's when Jake scares her, but he's just scaring her to try and give her like these medical scissors or something. Then we see someone trying to jump Gabriel in the hallway, and he's got no problem killing this guy in like 2 seconds flat, maybe 2 minutes flat at most. And that's when we kind of start to tell, he's like, oh, he's not human. He's got some kind of weird special powers. It's been Gabriel the whole goddamn time. Then we see Hannah creeping into the room where her mother and Isaac are. Hannah asks Isaac if he killed her father, and he's pretty much says yes. He's like, well, you know, it was for the greater good for me, so, you know, I had to do what I had to do. We then see Gabriel walking up to Cora, who's trying to pull her gun out on him, and he pretty much just moves his hand and makes her point the gun right at her, and then he just says, like, bang, and she shoots herself in the face. And we find out the first son prophecy has to deal with him, because Isaac's son wasn't actually the first son born. Gabriel was actually the first son, and Isaac tried to change it so it was his son because he wanted to have the more power over the situation, but it doesn't actually work out that way. Gabriel then tries to make Hannah kill Isaac to complete the prophecy, but she's refusing to. And he's like, all right, fine, you just hit him and I'll finish it. How about that? Just hit him with the scythe a little bit and then I'll do the rest of it and you don't have to worry about it. Then we see Gabriel put his hand over Isaac's head and starts making him walk like a hand puppet, or like one of those masquerade puppets. And then Gabriel turns into this stupid game show host and tells everyone to prepare for the game of death, where he's got Isaac pinned down on the ground. And he takes a pipe and like smashes it so it's, you know, broken in half and sharper now. He literally impales Isaac on the ground with it. And then he goes to talk to Rachel Colby and Hannah. And that's when Rachel picks up the scythe and actually gets him right in the stomach and starts twisting it. And he's like, it's too late now. The seeds are already been planted. And then he drops to the ground. We think he's dead, but he's not really dead, because they're running out of the basement area and they get by Jake, and he comes back alive. He's like, ah, that's the best performance of my life. And then he just says something like boo or bang or something, and then the whole basement area blows up. And then we cut to a sunrise that's almost like the beginning one from the start of the movie, as Hannah talks about her story, and we see her and her mom walking through the cornfield away from the town. And then she's going on about, you know, how she's now the one in the prophecy that has to deal with the demon, because, you know, the seeds, you know, in her, God forget, she gets an abortion because it's really early on, but it's the 90s. I don't know anything about this shit. And the movie ends, and it's a movie, that's for sure. But yeah, I found the pacing to be very, very slow, and the action to be a bit boring once it did show up. Having the original Isaac back in, though, is pretty cool. I will admit that. I did enjoy that. And just because of that fact, I'll give it on the Rotten scale a 3 out of 10. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, but I'm sure there's worse Children of the Corn movies out there. You know, there's only like 9 of them, so I'm sure one of them or 5 of them is probably worse than this, but you know, that's besides the point. Yeah, I don't think there's really much more to say about this movie that hasn't been said already, and so yeah, we're just going to jump into our next movie. I believe it's the final movie for the month. I might do some extra ones because this is fun. I like visiting these movies. They're really low on the Rotten Tomato scale. This one's going to be an action adventure movie from 1985. It has a 0% on the tomato meter and has a 47% on the audience score, so I think it's a higher one of the movies I've done so far. I wanted to do another movie that just came out called Elvis from Outer Space, but I can't find a copy of it anywhere to actually watch it, so I'm going back to a movie that I already own, because why not. We're gonna watch American Ninja. It's been about 15 years since I watched this, so that's gonna be fun, and I'm not gonna remember jack shit probably, so we'll see how that goes. So definitely find a copy if you can, and check out the movie beforehand. Might be on Tubi, I'm not really too sure. I know there's a lot of those kind of movies on there, so I could probably double check that, but you guys can do that too as well. But yeah, that's going to be our next movie. And as always, make sure to like, share, follow, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. If you guys share the podcast, I really appreciate that. Every little bit helps. I still see the numbers going up, and I very much appreciate that. If you guys can leave a review, I love that. And maybe I'll start a segment where I start reading the reviews on the podcast at the end. If you can give it a rating, if there's like a star rating, I know Spotify has a star rating. If you can give ratings on that, that'd be much appreciated. And you can reach me on all social medias. There's the ones for the podcast, Rotten Views Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, or you can just do my personal one at Typhonstein on everything from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All those links be down below. And use the Rotten Reviews Podcast at gmail.com if you want to suggest any movies, because I got another thing coming up next month. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, I believe my Sketch-a-Ween series will be coming up again. Essentially it's my version of Inktober and all that other kind of stuff, but each day is going to be a different little horror piece on a post-it note of all things. So these get a little bit difficult because of the size. I'm just using fine tip Sharpies, and I'm leaving them up to like 10-15 minutes per sketch, because just something quick and fun and easy. So if you guys want to see anything horror related, doesn't matter what year, whatnot, suggest it. Just either leave a comment on this podcast or leave an email, whatever. Use the hashtag Rotten Reviews Podcast and I'll see it. Suggest me whatever, you know, slide in my DMs. That's fine too on Instagram and all other crap. But yeah, any movie you want to see, leave a suggestion down below. If like all the slots aren't open or free or whatever, I'll add it in. Even if they are all taken, I'll probably do extra ones throughout the month as well, because they're pretty quick and easy and they're fun to do. That definitely keeps me active in the art field, which I enjoy. But yeah, until next time, I'll talk to you guys all later. Make sure to check out the outro band. Music brought to you by Blood Opera, a Toronto-based horror band. All their links will be down below as well. Until next time, take it easy. And, you know, keep enjoying these bad movies. And I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace!
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
Take it. It's yours. It always was.
Was. And blood seeps through the floor.
said that you desire is a painful pleasure. Turn over.